We're going to listen to our reading, but we're going to say our reading together. And it's a slightly un-Christmassy reading. And you might read it and go, oh, what's this got to do with Christmas? There's no mention of the manger and so on. But there is a point, as I hope you will see in a moment. So we're going to read this. It comes from Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to say these words together. It will help us just get to grips with what the Bible's saying if we say these together. So let's say this reading together. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Let's sit down, everyone. Now, it's great to sing these carols. I hope you're enjoying them. Some people in churches reckon that we shouldn't sing any Christmas carols until it's actually Christmas time. I think that's a bit miserablest and not a good thing. So we sing them. Okay, we're going to sing them. I hope you enjoy them. But having said that, they are a little bit sentimental, aren't they? They kind of bring back all sorts of memories and they kind of pluck our heartstrings maybe a little bit. And there's a real danger at Christmas time that we go for the sentimentality and we get all excited about that. We make the focus, the feelings of being with family and the joys of that, assuming that having your family around you is a joy. For some people, it's not necessarily the case. And we get distracted by all sorts of things that are going on. I mean, today and tomorrow, if you go to the Gaillard, it will be madness. It will be utter madness. You know, men will start doing their Christmas shopping today with two shopping days left. That's what we do. And it will be packed out, and people will go to Morrison's or Marks and Spencer's if you're posh, and you know we'll go shopping because the shops are closed for one day, and it's the end of the world, and we need to stock up our land. Now these things are fine, you know, we've already done it in our house. We're kind of organised for it, but it can be a distraction, and it's so easy to forget the meaning of Christmas. You see, when Jesus used those words that we read in Scripture and he's talking to the holy people of his time, he's saying, look, you guys should know, but you so easily forget what the kingdom of heaven is really about. And so I'm going to tell a story. I use stories to try and communicate to people what the kingdom of heaven is about, to remind them, to reveal to them what it means to know God. And at Christmas time, we tell the Christmas story. If you come tomorrow night to the midnight carol service, we'll tell the Christmas story again in a slightly different way. But we rehearse year on year. It's a time of year when ministers really get nervous because we do the same thing year after year after year after year, and you're trying to find a new way to tell the same story. And there are a few people who've been ministers a lot longer than me in the room. You know what that's like. It can be a bit stressful trying to work out how to tell the story. But I thought we would do something this morning to try and remind us what the Christmas story is really about, that we might learn something or be reminded of something that is vitally important in the Christmas story. So I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm going to tell you the story. You need to get comfortable so that you can listen to it. There'll be some visuals that come up on the screen to help us as we listen to the story. Some of you have heard this already. I used it at the Christmas lunch a few weeks ago. And it's called When Santa Learned the Gospel. It's a great, great story. I'm so looking forward to Christmas Eve when Santa comes and visits the rectory and brings me lots of lovely things for me to enjoy over. It's great when Santa comes. But you know, Santa, like everybody, needs to hear the good news of Jesus. Did you know that? There is nobody in the world who does not need to learn the gospel to hear the good news of Jesus. And that's for someone who is Mr. Nice. Everybody knows Santa is lovely and wonderful. He's such a good person, isn't he? Oh, yeah. Anyone not like Santa? Are you with me? Have I lost you already? Okay, so we're going to tell this story with no further ado. You need to listen carefully. Now, I'll tell you this at the end what I'm going to do. So this is called When Santa Learned the Gospel. Are you sitting comfortably? Don't fall asleep. This is the kind of story you might tell when someone's going to sleep. Okay, here we go. When Santa learned the gospel, he first heard it from an elf. This tiny Santa's helper had just learned of it herself. A child had asked for Christmas to receive a Bible book. The elf made one in the shop, then paused to have a look. She read all about Jesus and the call to follow him. She learned how Jesus lived and taught and died to pay for sin. She learned how Jesus rose again and how he will return. And then this elf read how she should respond to all she'd learned. She shut the book, put down her tools, then closed her eyes and prayed. Right then and there, this little elf trusted in Christ that day. And the next day, she told Santa. It was awkward, unprepared. She knew she didn't know that much, but what she knew, she shared. She told Santa the gospel. It was simple, it was short. But a seed was sown in Santa's heart, which grew into a thought. Santa reflected on his life and the message he supported, then compared it to the gospel that the elf had just reported. He'd always thought that everyone was naughty or was nice. He had them all on two big lists. He even checked it twice. He'd always thought you only got a gift if you'd been good. The naughty kids got lumps of coal. That's what he understood. They'd all line up in shopping malls and sit upon his knee and claim that they were always nice as can be. Of course, he saw them when they slept and knew when they awoke. He also knew their nice attempts were pretty much a joke. Their heads weren't filled with thoughts as nice as kindness, peace, and joy, but with the never-ending list of their desired toys. He knew their hearts, but he had thought, they're trying to be good. That's good enough to make the list. Otherwise, no one would. So every year, their good enough with toys would be rewarded. And every year, he realized this message he supported. The good will get the presents, the bad will get the coal, and trying to be good enough is good enough a goal. That was the message that he knew, but now he knew another. He had just learned the gospel, so he compared them to each other. The message of the gospel turned his message upside down. The good, the bad, naughty and nice, it switched it all around. There's no one good but God alone, he'd heard Jesus concluded, and those who claim they're good enough are simply just deluded. If there's a list of who is good, that standard we've all missed. And Santa saw that even he was on the naughty list. That shook his world. That rocked his boat. That gripped him in his soul to think that even Santa Claus deserved a lump of coal. But that was only half of what the gospel message said. It also flipped what happened to the naughty on its head. Instead of being written off as just not good enough, the message to the naughty list was one of grace and love. The gospel offered mercy to all those deserving coal. The gospel offered forgiveness and cleansing of the soul. The gospel told how Jesus died our death to pay the price, to reconcile us all to God, both naughty and the nice. This offer was a real gift. Unlike presents neath the tree, it was not earned by being good. God offered it for free. Santa compared his message with this new one he had learned. His message said, you got the presents your good deeds had earned. The message of the gospel offered something so much greater. Jesus had come to reconcile the world to their Creator. When Santa grasped the gospel, he did not know what to do. And so the elf said nervously, how about I pray with you? So that night at the North Pole, by the fire in his den, with a simple prayer led by an elf, Santa was born again. And now in Christ, forgiven, free, his new life had begun. And Santa had a new message to share with everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious message at Christmas time. Jesus, born in a crib, in a spare room, in the humblest of circumstances, grew into be the man, Jesus, who taught so that people could understand what his coming meant, and who died on a cross for the sins of the world. Forgive us when we want to keep Jesus in the crib and we do not allow him to grow into the man who speaks to our hearts and to our minds. We thank you for that great story, Santa learning the gospel. May all of us be amazed again at your great love for the world and your great love for us. And may we respond to it by focusing on Jesus and by giving ourselves to him again this Christmas. For this we pray in his wonderful and precious name. Amen. We're going to say a prayer together. It will come up on the screen to help us respond. Let's say the parts which are in bold. Jesus Christ, born in humble circumstances, be with the poor and homeless this Christmas time. As we pray, live and give, shine your everlasting light. Jesus Christ, visited by shepherds, be with all who have to work this Christmas and those who long to work. As we pray, live and give, shine your everlasting light. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, be with young mothers across the world this Christmas time. As we pray, live and give, shine your everlasting light. Jesus Christ, who became a refugee, be with those who fear for their lives. And those who have left homes and families this Christmas. As we pray, live and give, shine your everlasting light. Amen. We also remember those in the Sunda Strait affected by the tsunami last night, those who have lost loved ones, those trying to bring aid to those in need. And as the extent of this disaster becomes clear, help us, Lord, to consider how we might give to bring relief to those in need. As we pray, live and give, shine your everlasting light. Amen.